Well, we're ready for interview number two for the Stories of Resiliency of the Native American People. Today here, I have an elder from the Fort Berthold Reservation, from the Arikara Nation. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself? Your name and your Indian name and your tribal affiliations.
My Indian name is would have been Red Basket, but I gave it to Catherine, and Catherine's name is Red Basket. But my name is Yellow Corn, named after my great grandmother.
Okay.
And that would be Snow. It used to get my dad's mother.
Oh, okay.
So, and then I started school and Bismarck Indian School.
Okay.
When I was about 7 years old.
Okay.
And I never knew a word of English. So I used to go over to a grandma, Mrs. Wild.
Okay.
And so they could teach me, you know, a few words like the main things, you know, what I needed, you know, like I'm hungry, or I'm going to, you know, I mean, words that, you know, that everyday words that, you know, that that was a necessity, you know, to my being, you know, and and then, but I was very happy to find out that I wasn't the only one. That there were a lot of others, you know, that had the same problem, you know, that, of learning how to speak the English language.
Okay.
And learn the how the other outside lived, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time was to get under the shower.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, and wash your hands, you know, sink, you know, and all that, and then had to go to the bathroom and flush the toilet, and of course, you know, when you flush the toilet, oh, you just jumped up. You thought you were going to go right down with it.
I couldn't imagine all of those things we take for granted today, those little things. It's all normal for us. But back then, yeah, I could see how that's a total big transformation and how things are done.
Yeah, so, I mean, there was a lot of change in our lives, you know, when we started. And then, of course, we had separate, you know, you had your own government clothes.
Okay.
You know, you striped dress, you know, and striped bloomers, you know. I mean, they were, you know, the real. And but then the winter town, you got underwear, you know, and stockings were the regular. Well, anyhow,
they were like tube socks.
Yeah, they weren't socks or anything. They were regular government stockings, you know.
Okay.
And government shoes, and then of course it couldn't go around, you know. I mean, government shoes couldn't go around, so a lot of us kids that had small feet, we had to wear boys' shoes. So you see a lot of our girls going crumpet crumpet with those boys' shoes. Yeah, so and then how to march. We learned how to march. And you know, to the march and do march and they say forward march, there we go. But we learned all the, you know, all the rules of that, you know, so
okay.
So it was and then they say company this way and company that way and all that. You're just a regular military.
Yeah, I was just going to say
that. It was all kind of military.
And how old were you at that time? Do you remember that? What was your age?
Yeah, in the morning, we all had to get out there and do exercise.
Oh, really?
We had somebody, you know, So as soon as you got up and everything and got yourself organized, then you went out there and you know you're, it's like a military, you know?
Right.
So you know where you stand.
Yeah.
And then they, you know, somebody goes down along the line, you know, and they take your, it's just like if you were, a soldier, soldier or something like that, you know.
And so you must have been, how old were you?
I was 7 years old at that time.
7 years old. Mm-hmm.
7 years old when I started out.
Start marching.
Yeah, start learning how to march and how to...
talk English.
Yeah.
Flush toilets. Different things like that.
That was the beginning of our...
Wow.
Yeah, so...
And is it, and I apologize if this is not correct or appropriate, but today, are you in your 90s today?
I'm 90, I'll be 90, I'm 96 right now, but I'll be 97 in September.
Oh my goodness.
September,
okay.
And I, you know, really, I thank the Lord for every day, you know, because I still have my mind, I can think way back, and I can, respond to other. But the only thing was my hearing first to begin with, you know. Boy, it's nice to have a hearing, you know, because that way where you can now join the conversations or you can answer if they ask you questions this way while you don't. And it does kind of get on your nerves, you know, especially not knowing, you know.
Yeah.
And they said that too, you know, they were told us that. And but now, I can speak for myself, though.
Well, thank goodness for hearing.
Catherine had to speak for me, or my other children, you know, my grandchildren had to speak for me, or tell me, you know, I mean, let me know what was going on or something like that. But I really, the family is so good. I can't complain, really, because, you know, they really gave me a good... And right now, Jo is gone, so I kind of miss her too, you know.
Oh, sure. Is she out of state?
Yeah,
your granddaughter?
She's in Chicago, you know, she's at nurse.
Okay.
Yeah, so she's a nurse. Those kids are smart.
Yeah. They're all doctors and nurses, right?
Yeah, even my little ones, the little ones are smart. But she's, you know, she's married to the doctor, Zane.
Rising Sun.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, she's married, yeah.
And he's good friends. I met him through my husband, actually. Met both of them through my husband, because my husband, Scott, is friends with Dr. Rising Sun.
They're just both alike, you know, their feelings are both alike, you know, they're just real nice. Couple, you know, they just really, Then they got that little boy, and you'd think that little boy would be just spoiled, but you know, because they just—that's the only child, you
only
know.
Only child, sure.
I mean, he's probably got other children, but you know, but being the youngest of the one, and then of course they got the girl, and the girl is going to college right now, you know, so.
Okay.
So they're doing real fine for themselves. So.
Yeah, that's good. You know,
she helps me out a lot, and same me with Joy.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw those kids when they were a little baby, when she had the babies, you know. So, I used to take care of the babysitting before they bought a time, you know, babysat every time for them when they want to go someplace, and I babysat for the kids. So I know them both. Oh, well, and even when they got to high school, you know, after high school, and then afterwards, they went to college and everything else. So, and that was always with them, Joy, every time she's going to have a test, you know. And then I'd go over there with her, you know, to Grand Forks and take care of my little great-grandchildren and stuff. And then after her tests, then I come home.
Well, kind of that's the way it is, Indian way, no matter what tribe we're from. Grandmas are a big part of our the family's life, right? Whether it's the grandkids, your own kids, they're a big part of caretaking, even as grandma.
I think that's what helped me, my my mind and my responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Mm, sure.
I think,
that makes
you know,
sense.
That way, well, you know, to keep track and to be.
To keep active.
Yeah, sort of, you know. I really
have that
do.
Social part that
yeah,
we all
mm-hmm.
need.
And then I do my own work. If I can do my own work, I'm going to do it. You know, and I do exercises. I do a lot of walking. I do, you know, and I learned how to be by myself and do things for myself. You know, and and probably sometimes it can be pretty tough, but I manage.
Yeah. Well, you have a beautiful home here. I've been throughout the facility here.
Yeah. This is
beautiful.
Nice. I said, this reminds me of the time I was living at Patterson Place.
Okay.
It's just the same layout, you know. Yeah, so
it's really
I
nice.
Said, well, I guess it just moved from one place to another place. Yeah,
well,
but we pay more money
is,
here, yeah, over
important.
There. Well, I needed help over there, you know, because I wasn't, and I've worked all my life, that's mm-hmm. what I was saying. I've worked all my life.
I didn't
have the education, I didn't have that chance, you know, because I got married right away.
Mm-hmm.
But when I got out, you know, when I got out into California, mm-hmm. I thought I got to do something mm-hmm. to, you know, to help along with the rent and everything else, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I went back to school and I went to nursing training,
mm-hmm.
and I went to the college there in Sacramento, mm-hmm. and then I took my state exams in San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
and I was happy when I passed. Oh my goodness!
I bet, big accomplishment.
Yeah, and then through my experience, working in different areas, you know, learning, we had to work in different areas,
mm-hmm. okay,
which helped. You know, when you go in, when you go to different hospitals,
mm-hmm.
and you know,
diverse
then you for every you know place, mm-hmm. and I was just like that. You know, it seems like they always wanted. I always had a place to work. I call up, you know, and if I didn't have it, I'd call it up and say, "Put on your hat and come right over." So that's what I'd do. I'd put my little hat on, my LVN cap, and I'd go. And then catch the bus, and then go, you know, to work, you know. And
you weren't driving back and forth to work? You
yeah,
rode the bus.
And then Catherine was going to school, a day school.
Okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, in Sacramento, they went. And we had nice neighbors.
Oh, that's nice.
Which is nice.
Mm-hmm.
Nice neighbors, and then they Betty used to babysit for me, you know, our neighbors,
okay.
and she had two children too, mm-hmm. and then there was another one right across that used to babysit. She had nothing but boys,
mm-hmm.
and she learned how to play with boys.
She hung right at that.
Yeah, and then they go to school. You know, they go to school all together. You know, go to the school and all come back together. You know, as kids.
So when you were growing up, as a child, you went through those experiences. You mentioned going to Bismarck Public School. Was it a
uh-huh.
public school or is it a Catholic school?
The Catholic school was
Catholic.
A public school, yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of things changed because you grew up being taught, you know, for example, the language, the Rikara language, and then now you're being taught how to speak English and all these different changes. What did you carry with you, even though you were taught to change your language, some of your values, and some use the word assimilated.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say through all of that assimilation? What do you still carry with you today?
Mm-hmm. You know, when I started school at, you know, in Bismarck,
mm-hmm.
it seems like they just kind of pushed you on, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then when I got into the public school, when I was about seventh and eighth grade.
Okay, 13,
14. I went, you know, there was a change there.
Okay.
And if it wasn't for Sister Benedict, it seems like, otherwise they would have put me way back again.
Mm-hmm. And Sister
so
Benedict helped you?
She took time out to let me catch up to the real seventh and eighth grade, you know. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Me and Gerardo, for me and Gerardo, of course, all of us were, you know, in that same category, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we all had to start, you know, from the beginning. So every time when it's a government school, mm-hmm. you know, when like we have now.
Mm-hmm. The public school system?
I say no.
Mm. Okay.
Start just like the public school. So when anybody goes into a different school, they're
at the right
they'll
level.
Be able to, you know,
adapt.
Yeah.
Right into the system.
Yeah, and I think the government should know that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Should be the same, you know, as the other schools.
All the schools should be the same.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
if they move.
Yeah, that way you're ahead.
Easy to transition.
Uh-huh. And it depends on the person, you know, they can get ahead, you know, maybe get a scholarship or mm-hmm. whatever it is, you know, that the person is working for.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So that's another thing I would like to have the done, you know, in the schools for our girls, you know, especially starting school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, elementary right on through, you know, same type. Mm.
So when you were growing up, who was your teacher? Who did you learn the most from?
One teacher I thought was I was in grade school, Miss Dosey.
Miss Dosey is your favorite?
She was a sweetie. Miss Dosey, yeah.
And what kind of teacher was she? Like, what did she teach, or was it
Yeah,
academics?
She was a seventh and eighth grader, you know, so.
Oh, okay.
And I remember Tootsie Partain. She was kind of mischievous, you know. And so, she said, no, you know. She says, I'm going to have to spank you. So she spanked her, you know, and she pulled her pants so hard. I don't think she even felt spanked.
So you guys would get spanked in school.
So we got
back then, that was normal,
yeah.
to get spanked in school.
Yeah.
And you must have been about 7, 8 years old back then?
Yeah. 7 years old when that time started up, seventh and eighth grade. Oh, no, Miss Dickinson used to be the one with the elementary.
Oh, okay.
Elementary. That was our superintendent's wife.
Okay, and she did the spanking.
Yeah, she was one age. She's a very strict lady there.
Mm. And so now going back to like before the public school or the Catholic schools, who was your teacher? Like who taught you? Is it your mom and your dad both? Were they a part of your life and taught you?
Oh, my dad,
the
my
language?
Mother, and yeah.
And where did they go?
My mother went to Fort Stevenson. Remember Fort Stevenson?
Fort Stevenson?
Yeah,
okay.
They had the school there.
Okay. And where is that?
And most of them, you know, when you go down there, they always have a place where it says Fort Stevenson.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine the school was apparently, you know, around in that area. I never did know whereabouts the school was. But Pete Beauchamp used to go to school there too. My dad, Pete Beauchamp, and all of them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And And they were just like the way they were, where you had to march in and they always tell about each other, mm-hmm. And they tell, we sit there and laugh and laugh about, the things that they laugh about, And of course I can talk to you about them. Mm-hmm. He said, Leo Shell, she said, we were all poor, but regardless, she said, he says, Leo was the poorest.
Telling on each other.
When they march, he said, I guess the bottom of the shoe.
Yeah.
I guess it came off so much, he said, there he goes. He said, and he's
he was the poorest one.
About each other, and he loves to, Oh goodness,
I can only imagine. So you mentioned your father. Was he sent to Fort Stevenson's too?
Yeah, I guess they were all going to school, right? They were at the Fort Stevenson. Remember, they have one Fort Stevenson flat.
I'm not familiar with where that's located.
Now I think of it, I bet you that's probably where the school was. I wish I could have known where it is, and if I knew, I would have really pointed out, if they showed me, whereabouts it would be, But that's where they got the stop, and then all of a sudden, they took a lot of them, took them to, Pennsylvania, what's that place there now? They had two schools.
Okay. Mm-hmm. In Pennsylvania?
Yeah, in New Jersey and around there, yeah.
Okay.
And Pete Beauchamp, I guess he went out there. Mm-hmm. And Charlie Hoffman, he was out there too. And I imagine they graduated
together.
Yeah, they graduated from high school. And
so they kind of had each other over there.
Yeah, they had government schools over there, I guess.
And then they separated you guys, though.
They said one school there. I don't know what school, which one it was. I can't think of the names of them, but. They were Indians and blacks together.
Oh, okay. Oh, I didn't
know
that.
Now, what school was that? There's two schools there.
Now, these are the ones in Pennsylvania?
Yeah, okay. There.
I'll have to look it up.
There's two schools. Uh-huh.
I have to do my research.
Yeah, but Pete Beauchamp, he was a smart man, he really, he did a lot for the people. Mm-hmm. The same with Ina, and do you know them?
No, I don't.
And Margie?
Nope, I don't know who they are.
Yeah, they did a lot. Do you remember that the White Shield School, she's got her name on there.
Oh, okay. And that, so would she
Marjorie,
have been,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
She was a relative?
Yeah, that school, I guess, it's okay. Got her name on there. And they did a lot of work, they did
creating
quite a lot,
school.
For us, yeah.
Okay.
For people, and of course, there they are Rick Ross, too, but they have white blood in them,
Yeah,
okay. And Mrs. Beauchamp, she was white, came from the East.
Okay.
And Pete was married, to her. And I suppose they got married when they were out in New Jersey or someplace, when he was going to school.
Oh, I see.
Mm-hmm,
so he was a Rickera?
Yeah.
And then she was white, and he met her over there. I see. Okay.
And there's a lot of Beauchamps.
Is there?
Do you remember?
In White Shield?
Yeah, White Shield,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Marjorie's sons, he had three of them, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Pete and now Bernard, and the young one is still living in White Shield.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Bernard and them are both gone, But
oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah, but they still, you know, they're still
their names are still on there, yeah, mm-hmm. on the school, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I have to check that next time.
Family, yeah, the whole family is just great.
So one of the questions, you know, that we wanted to make sure to share with the audience is, because what we want to get out of this is to help people, I guess, gain some kind of insight, maybe gain some wisdom out of, from your life experience, your journey. What were some of the struggles that you had, just kind of overview of some of those struggles, and what got you through them? What helped you get through them in a good way?
Mm-hmm. You know, my mother and dad used to put in a lot of, put in a big garden.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how it is, you know, without the equipment, you know, like the modern,
mm-hmm.
you had to do it with horses and, you know, fly up.
My dad, that was
but hard. I think the community, people that was, they had a boss farmer.
Okay.
There. Mm-hmm. And one was Burton Bell, mm-hmm. and then there was another one before him was Ross, Charlie Ross, okay. Burton Bell. And the last one, I think he came from Wisconsin.
Okay.
Or I think he was a teacher or something, but I don't know, but anyhow.
Mm-hmm.
And the main thing is they had community gardens.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
You know, now what do you call it? So people that put in their gardens, you know, in all those places.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you could see, you know, where the... And I wish, I really wish, I don't know what goes on right now in Whiteshell.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I think if they put their minds to, you know, for their sake of their children, put in their gardens,
mm-hmm.
work, you know, that'll give them, that way they wouldn't have time to be thinking about drinking
mm-hmm.
or,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? It'll mm-hmm. probably be, they'd be doing something for their own self by putting in the garden. And then we had Margie Brewer at the time, mm-hmm. you know, Agnes was working there too, and
mm-hmm.
Vera, and there was a lot of people working at that school.
Mm-hmm.
They told the people there, whoever wants to can their food, bring your canning over to the school and we'll help you can.
Mm-hmm.
That was some of Margie Harper's.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So a lot of them, they took their, you know, whatever they wanted canned, they took them over to the school and they can't, you know, they did look good. And there was a one lady there, I can remember, she was a wonderful lady.
Mm-hmm.
And her name was Pauline Fredericks.
Okay.
And she married this lady, I think Isaac Price, I think one of those, Yeah, she was a wonderful lady, you know, I mean, a German lady, you know.
Okay.
And she was just a wonderful person. And, yeah, she did a lot of things, you know, at the school.
Okay.
And helped, you know, and cooked and everything else at the school there, too.
And she...
And, you know, I had a picture
mm-hmm.
of the people. Now I'm going to have to go downstairs and look all over in that, you know, trash. Oh, it's not trash, it's trash pressure.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's a picture of all the people that worked at the school.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh.
That's a pretty old picture.
Yeah, the whole picture, you know, the whole picture of everything. They all dressed in their own, dressed, you know, like they were in their kids. kitchen, you know.
Okay.
I mean, kitchen and teachers and
margies. I would love to see that
and,
picture.
Yeah, this is a picture of it. Yeah, I'm going to have to find out about just get it and cut it out, and then I should even take it up to the school.
Sure.
And make copies of it.
Yeah, make copies.
And put it up you know, on the board. And,
oh, that would be such a
gift. You know, that'll be something for them to, you know,
pass
think
on
about and to, you know, to help them to advance. And this way, they forget all about whatever it is, drugs or or alcoholism or whatever, you know, if they just put their minds to that. To doing something about themselves and then and the community.
So that's a good point that you make. It helps us to feel a sense of self-identity.
Yeah.
Kind of learning those values, being taught things that make us feel valuable, and at the same time feel unity and love is what you get when you have community. You know, sometimes the love isn't always, you know, directly in our home sometimes for some family members. So if we have it within our community, we can all kind of carry each other's weight and help one another. Right? And that's kind of the sense that I feel like it was long time ago. You know, even though I surely wasn't there, but it seems to me that's the sense that I got just from listening to from my grandma before she passed away and hearing a lot of the stories that it was always, and growing up as a little child, I felt that it was always a sense of unity within our relatives. A lot of laughter, a lot at the powwows that we went to, and the visits at the house, you know, at the houses of our relatives. It was always warm and welcoming and a lot of laughter and eating and just warm, love feeling. And I remember that from Whitechild, from my grandma's side.
So, I don't think, I mean, thinking about alcoholism, I don't know how many, looking at the people, you know, when I go there, it doesn't seem like, you know, there's alcoholism, you know, among the people that I eat with. You know,
you
people that
see it.
The senior center, okay. And of course they have those homes, you know. But I think most of the most of it must come from Newtown.
That area.
It seems like
the
alcohol,
bars.
You know, and I imagine it's because of the. You know, they have the oil and things right there too, and it's much closer. You know,
the
there.
The,
you know,
the bars
all that,
are and activities.
And then besides the casino,
right?
So there is a lot of temptations and things. So I just imagine, according to what I hear, they say that they. The new law, I guess they're going to be a place, you know, for people, you know, that have alcoholic problems.
Oh, like a treatment
and,
center?
And drugs.
Recovery or like
a recovery
center.
Right, so,
Okay.
That's right, you know.
That's good news.
I heard about it, it's good. So apparently, that's probably where, you know, the. Everything is going on right in that area there. I don't know anything about the 48s, but over there, and it seems like, you know, they've had a lot of problems too, you know.
Yeah, I think.
But it's quietened down quite a bit. You know, it really has.
Yeah.
I never hear anything more. It's just mostly open area.
For Berthold area,
because something's got to be, you know, done about it, you know.
You know, when it's in the news often, that's when you know that it's happening a lot. Because just imagine how many things are happening that aren't in the news. So, you know, the way it used to be before, things weren't always in the news. Mm-hmm. Things, it's such at a deepened level of crime now.
Mm-hmm.
It's more criminal today than it was back then. And so, but yeah, it's definitely blame to alcohol and drugs.
Mm-hmm.
We can blame the oil, but if we really look at it, it's the actual addiction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the people. Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot of them. And then too, a lot of that money. I was telling Catherine, I said a lot of that money. I said that it should be spent, you know, spent it in on things, you know, into help the people.
Yeah.
Look at themselves and to start
mm-hmm.
cultivating something to,
yeah.
you know, overcome and to start...
Invest in their futures,
yeah. mm-hmm.
in their children's futures, and their futures, home ownership,
mm-hmm.
Things like that. And yeah, that would be definitely a place to start. I think we really need a revolution.
Mm-hmm.
So we really need that inspirational, empowering kind of mobilizing bodies
mm-hmm.
of unity to do that. Whether that comes within each reservation or comes from, you know, the urban area and does outreach to however that, but it needs to happen because mm-hmm. We need the people power.
Mm-hmm.
To inspire people to find their culture, you know, to find God, to find, you know, something that is higher than this life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I don't even know the people, you know that?
Mm-hmm.
All the old people that maybe a few now that goes to the senior center,
mm-hmm.
but most of them, they're gone. The older people, you know, people that I remembered, you know, people that I knew, people, you know, when you go in or whatever, you know, you get.
Yeah.
And you're glad to see them and like that, you know, but not anymore. You don't get to see them. I mean, you don't, they've passed on.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's just a few, you know, there's Greta. Yeah. You know, when I go to White's, of course, Greta's my niece, and now we and Pakenham, and yeah, sometimes you should go. Like, I mean, you know, just go in there, just to eat, you know, and talk to.
That's a very good idea.
And your aunt is working there. Florence's girl.
Which one would that be then? It's not Delilah.
Yeah, they work there, and I always like it too because because they're very, you know, I mean, they're very dependable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it makes me feel good, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I know them.
You're proud of them. Yeah.
Nice. I am very proud of them because they, you know, they're so dependable, and the food they bring out, boy, is never good. You know, they have a way of fixing up the food up, and it look very tempting. And I said, you know what, Isabel and Catherine and I are going to White Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And I says, could I go? Catherine says, yeah. So they're going to take me along. And I said, you know what? Maybe I should take chicken along. You know, those barrels of chicken. I said,
You
can put an addition to the
your potluck. Well, that is so fun. I love visiting with you.
And they're all, you know what, I said, you know, I said, I'm related to everybody.
White Hill is so small, but it seems like everybody's from White Hill. You know, when I meet people here over the years in Bismarck, I've worked at United Tribes, I've you know, people at the church, or, you know, just in our community here, and they say they're from Whiteshell. There's like so many from Whiteshell. I'm like, wow, it's hard to believe that there's that many people come out of Whiteshell, because it's the tiniest little piece of the reservation up there. It always amazes me.
Then I went to the school, you know, and they had me talk to the kids, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I went to the school and I kind of looked around. I says, oh my goodness, I says, I'm a grandma to all of them. Hey, I was a grandma to all of them in some forms or other.
I think we're going to start wrapping up, but I just want to ask one more question. And if you are able to just share and give, you know, some advice to someone who's listening, who's younger and still has a journey in front of them, what advice would you give them that might be helpful for them going forward?
Mm-hmm.
In a good way, to do it in a good way. What advice would you give to the people?
You know, I was telling the kids, I said, when I was a little girl, I said, what I remembered as a child, you know, when I was running, you know, around everything, which is true,
mm-hmm.
I said, I used to see haystacks, that haystacks, you know, the regular straw stacks, straw.
Mm-hmm.
I said, did you know your grandparents put in a crop? They put in wheat, they put in flax, and they put in, you know, on their lands regardless, even if it was just 80 acres, because, you know, they had to work with horses.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then they had this Indian thrash machine.
Mm-hmm.
Used to go from one end of the mm-hmm. reservation and comes, you know, and they had that and then I can remember, you know, that coming out, you know, and I can remember that. And then I was like, oh, how sweet and how nice. I still have that, you know, that picture.
Mm-hmm.
Where I could, you know, where they were straw piles and everything else, you know, that they themselves did. I said, and now this new generations, we have 1/4 sharers of, you know, we don't even put nothing in. I know we did. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jack and I did.
Mm-hmm.
We put in wheat, we put in now. Although I had to drop the tractor, but we put them in, we put a track. I know we even had we didn't have no thrash machine, you know, the modern, so we used to have to get somebody to, you know, do their, and then they'd put it on the floor, and then we had to find ways of, you know, putting it in the truck and going all the But we done it, though. We made it, you know, but I really think people there should do their own land and put their own wheat in. A long time ago, they had a flour mill.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember one man there, okay, my dad used to tease him, because I guess he was related to him or somebody or that. But he was in charge of the flour mill. And they even had what did they call, you know, where they made lumber.
Okay.
They had one of those too.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I thought about it the time I went to, you know, with Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
Her and her husband he was transferred to Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And now the Apache reservation.
Mm-hmm.
And I went along to babysit and to help her out, you know, with that. Uh-huh. And then than I used to, you know, kind of. And they had their own now. And then now what got me is they had their own restaurant and their own, hotel. We stayed in that hotel until they got a house, you know, that they got, you know, that they had to have a house. Mm-hmm. And then they had they even had a fish, mm-hmm. you know, where they had raised fishes, you know, and I even went over there to see it. Mm-hmm. And then they had a hospital there. Mm-hmm. And that's, so I was just kind of, you know, I'm kind of nosy. But they had a lot of things, you know, they had their own stores. Mm-hmm. And oh, I like their dresses, you know, they had those flared dresses, you know, those, and they have those just colorful, you know. Oh. And I think I seen some of them that were, you know, that on a sale, you know, I mean, in stores, you know. And then I saw, you know, what I saw, I could just see, you know, and then I went to their museum. Mm-hmm. And I sat through the museum to see the beginning of their mm-hmm. the beginning of what they did before that. Mm-hmm. And I thought they did the same, we did the same thing as they did, that they did at one time or other. Mm-hmm. And they had cattle, they have cattle. Now, I don't know whether it's still going on at that, but when I saw the movie, mm-hmm. they said the cattle belonged to the whole tribe.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, and that's what it was at that time, you know, the whole tribe. And the land belonged to the whole tribe. They got, you know, they got money. Everybody, you know, got money and like that, you know. Mm-hmm. And I sat through there and just, and I thought, I wonder if that happened to us, you know, whether we had. But I don't think so, because they used to have, as a little, you know, I was just running around, you know, my mother and dad, and they had horses and things, you know, too. And they had, I remember they, this is from way back, I'm talking about, mm-hmm. they had, they round up all the cattle, mm-hmm. and it was right near around Rose Glen.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Just think, we had land way up there. Mm-hmm. That's where they had the, and then of course a lot of people went and camped, made a big deal out of it, you know, but they all camped and done good. And then, of course, you know, they took a lot of the calves, you know, I mean, the cattle, and then they take the mm-hmm. calves away, you know, I mean, and that way they know whose calf belonged to who, you know, they did a lot of branding in the, at mm-hmm. that time. Mm-hmm. That was a long time ago, and I remember that, thank goodness. So that was the same thing that was going on then. Mm-hmm. And which reminded, you know, which brought me, my mind back to, you know, a time when I was a little girl and I seen the whole thing there. And as kids were playing around and running around and everything else like that. But mm-hmm. I can remember that so well. And then, of course, we camped there, you know, my mother and dad. And mm-hmm. We camped there, you know, and and a lot of things was going on there, you know, where the, and now people seem to have known where their own cattle and their own, you know, and their horses, you know, they did a lot of things anyhow for their cattle and things, you know, at that time.
Yeah.
Just think, this was way back, and I was born in 1918.
1918? That's when you were born?
So maybe I might have been about, five or six years old at that time, to be able to remember all that.
Yeah, I will have to do the math here. And you know, my grandpa was born 1917. So you guys, he would have been
So that's
97.
Going way back, you know,
Yes.
what I remembered.
That
you
is a long time
know. Yeah,
ago.
that was a long time ago. Yeah,
Oh
so I can remember. And I often wondered, you know, looking back at the old records
my
of the time we all lived, you know, in that area there, you know. I
Mm-hmm.
wonder if there's anything written about that, you know, if they, you know, I mean, if they were keeping track of, yeah, about all that, you know.
Would that be Elbow Woods?
That would write Nishu.
Nishu?
It used to be Nishu, and then before that it was Fort Berth, I mean, Armstrong.
Armstrong?
That was
Okay.
the first one, was Armstrong. And then just recently, you know, the named after the chief. She was, you know, Nishu.
Okay.
And then, of course, Nishu, and then, of course, what's name? White Shield. That was Theodore Gillette, so Dan. You know, we all related there, yeah. You know, either brothers. I guess I don't know how many brothers they had, but you got grandma. I mean,
Everybody who
him,
lived
yeah,
there
him
was
and them,
family.
between the two of them, yeah. And we even related to Deans. I mean, Bill Deans, remember? I don't know
No,
if
I
you
don't think
remember.
I know them.
Yeah, well, anyhow, you know, that's what made me say, "Boy, I'm related to everybody." And then you couldn't marry your own relatives. You remember that?
And that would have been hard.
Yeah.
You'd have to go somewhere else to find your husband or your wife because everybody's
And they thought, "Oh,
related.
that was terrible." You know, if you married, you know, close to your they can be maybe three, four,
Third or fourth
you know,
cousin.
but even then that was still terrible. Well,
Yeah.
you didn't do that. You go outside and marry somebody else.
But that's why it's so important for us to be taught.
So a
Yeah,
lot of
as
them went,
parents,
got
we need
married
them.
to go-ons, and you know, they intermarried to some other tribes because they didn't want to marry their fourth cousin or fifth cousin.
So if you're unsure, just go to a different tribe. Play it on the safe side. Well, thank you, Mary.
That's how I used to do before, you know. It's true.
Well, thank you, Mary. This has been a pleasure visiting with you, and it's been nice meeting you, and I look forward to visiting more and more with you.
Yeah.